Welcome to the fourth quarter 2019 Bolsa Mexicana de Valores S.A.B. de C.V. earnings conference call. My name is Sylvia, and I'll be operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ramon Güemes. Mr. Güemes, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. And welcome to Bolsa Mexicana de Valores' fourth quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to Bolsa that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available at Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of Bolsa related to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the current results, performance, or achievements of Bolsa to be somewhat different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in the general economic, political, governmental, and business conditions, both in a global scale and in the individual countries in which Bolsa does business, such as changes in monetary policies, in inflation rates, in prices, in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary considerably from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would also like to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on February 20th at Bolsa's corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, all figures are in Mexican pesos and compared to fourth quarter 2018, unless stated otherwise. This call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. Joining us for today's call are José Oriol Bosch, our CEO, José Manuel Allende, SVP Strategic Planning and Business Development, Roberto González, Senior Vice President of Indeval, Gabriel Rodriguez, CFICAP CEO, Alfredo Guillén, COO, José Miguel de Dios, Mexder CEO, Luis René, our Investor Relations Director, and myself, Ramon Güemes. I would now like to turn the call over to our CEO, Oriol Bosch.
Thank you, Ramon, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining the fourth quarter 2019 earnings conference call. I would like to announce that in spite of a very difficult year, BMV has achieved its EBITDA margin guidance for 2019, which was recorded at 59%. The annual results showed BMV's strong and well-diversified business model and highlights the need for continuing executing our medium-term strategy. Our revenue increased by 1% to 3.6 billion pesos, with solid growth in the central securities depository and information services. Our expenses were well under control, decreasing 1% as a result of initiatives to optimize processes and better commercial conditions in sub-custody. Operating income and EBITDA increased 3% and 8% respectively, and net income rose by 1% to 1.4 billion pesos for the year, excluding the impairment of Asigna's goodwill. The EBITDA margin was recorded at 59%, close to the top range of BMV's 2018 guidance. Furthermore, I am pleased to communicate that BMV's Board of Directors agreed to recommend to our shareholders' assembly a dividend of 1.81 pesos per share, which is equivalent to 1.07 billion pesos, which in turn means an 80% payout ratio. By raising the dividend 2%, BMV's yield remains above 4.8% versus 2018 average stock price. Let me now review BMV's fourth quarter credit-related business results. In cash equities, trading and clearing, revenue was registered at 113 million pesos, down 27% compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. The average daily traded value was 12.4 billion pesos, down 28%. However, it is important to state that the ADTV of the last quarter of 2018 was atypical as a result of higher volatility. For the full year, the average traded value was 13.2 billion pesos in the total market, 7.6 billion in the domestic market, and 5.6 billion in the SIC. Regarding the equity clearinghouse, it is relevant to note that CCB provides clearing services for both exchanges in Mexican equities. In derivatives trading and clearing, revenue decreased by 11% to 44 million pesos as a result of lower volumes in trading of swaps of TIIE, dollar futures, and IPC index futures. Assignats revenue were impacted by the reduced trading of the US dollar contracts as well as the lower margin deposits, which were reported at 32.6 billion, 1% lower when compared to the fourth quarter of 2018. As we have mentioned in the past, BMV continues working with the Mexican government and financial regulators to incentivize the development of a formal and standardized Mexican derivatives market, including the authorization for more afores or pension funds to trade derivatives. We have two new contracts in the pipeline for 2020, the overnight TIIE futures and the electricity futures. The first one is a monthly contract related to the new rate that the central bank started publishing on January 16. This new rate is the equivalent to the secured overnight financing rate, but in Mexican pesos. Regarding the electricity futures, we have been working with the finance and energy authorities to determine contract specifications and risk models. On CIFICAPS, revenue was up 20 million or 15% to 155 million pesos. CIFICAP revenues in Chile grew 22 million or 29%, while in Mexico they decreased 2 million or 4%. The growth in Chilean division is mainly explained by greater volatility in the Chilean market and new offshore customers, which was partly offset by the depreciation of the Chilean peso against the Mexican peso. Regarding our non-trading businesses results, information services increased 17% or 20 million to 135 million pesos. During this period of time, Valmer recorded non-recurring revenue of 8 million pesos due to the sale of licenses and implementation of Open Finance, a portfolio management software. Excluding this non-recurring revenue, information services increased 10% as a result of increasing demand for Mexican data from both existing and new clients. On the Central Securities Depository, Indeval, revenue was up 9% or 20 million to 260 million pesos, explained by the continued growth in services related to the global market, the SIC. For the full year, these services represented 316 million pesos, or 31% of Indeval's revenue, up 84 million compared to 2018. We expect these services to continue growing above 10% since investors continue showing a strong interest for the global market and the volatility in the peso-dollar exchange rate may increase during the U.S. election. Listing and maintenance revenue decreased by 12% or 22 million to 167 million pesos. The reduced fee schedule had an impact of 22 million pesos, 4 million in listings, and 18 million in maintenance. BMV is committed to continue supporting the economic development of the country and encourage the growth of financial markets in Mexico. Excluding the reduced fee schedule, listing was down 6 million pesos due to fewer activity compared to the fourth quarter of 2018, which was offset by the maintenance revenue from previous year's listings. During the fourth quarter, Fibra Monterrey issued a follow-on for 3.9 billion pesos, and BlackRock issued a SECADE with 7 series for 1.3 billion pesos. As for the debt market, both short-term and long-term debt new listings improved by 7% and 44% respectively. As mentioned before, assignments revenue were impacted by reduced trading in the U.S. dollar contracts as well as lower margin deposits. This was taken into account in FIMFI's annual goodwill impairment test, and in accordance with our audit committee and our external auditors, FIMFI registered an impairment of assignments goodwill for 40 million pesos. This impairment does not affect our cash flow. Excluding the effect of the goodwill impairment, expenses for the quarter amounted to 402 million pesos, down 12% or 54 million pesos compared to last year's fourth quarter. BMV had non-recurring items in personnel due to the reversal of a provision for 14 million pesos and in sub-custody as a result of negotiated discounts with the international custodian for 3 million pesos. Excluding these concepts, expenses decreased 37 million pesos or 8% compared to the fourth quarter of 2018, explained by the following items. Personal expenses increased 6 million due to annual salary increases, new positions in information security, and customer relations. Technology was down 39 million pesos in the third quarter. 21 million pesos were reclassified from technology to depreciation as a result of changes in the accounting standard IFRS 16, and the net result decreased by 18 million pesos, mainly due to finished 2018 initiatives and the optimization of processes. Depreciation increased by 30 million pesos, 21 million due to the changes to IFRS 16, and 9 million pesos because of projects completed in 2018 and new hardware leases. Rent and maintenance presented a decrease of 7 million pesos as a result of non-recurring expense during the fourth quarter of 2018 for the maintenance of FIMFI's elevator. Subcustody decreased by 19 million pesos, explained by better commercial terms as a result of the consolidation of international custodians for the global market. The results of the quarter led to a new record high in the operating and EBITDA margin, registering 15% and 61% respectively, and a net income of 310 million pesos, not considering the impairment to assignments goodwill. Net income would have been 350 million pesos. Now let me turn to FIMFI's medium-term strategy and how it is unfolding. FIMFI's strategic initiatives are focused on, first, further development of post-trade and market data initiatives. Second, protection of legacy business by building new added value services. And third, work closer with buy-side clients and regulators. First, in Indeval, we are currently working on fee structure with the financial authorities to enable access to the local market infrastructure, providing direct custody, corporate actions, market information, and tax services, to name a few. Potential clients include foreign financial institutions, such as broker-dealers, banks, fund managers, insurance companies, and global custodians. Additionally, we continue implementing RPAs or robotic process automatization to perform repetitive business processes, and reduce operational risk. Second, regarding our Latin American exchange data, or LED venture, I can share with you that the platform is up and running, and we are currently offering trials to potential clients. During this first phase, we are offering end-of-day data, master files, outstanding and corporate events of Mexico, Colombia, Peru, and Chile. Additionally, we continue negotiating the business model and redistribution fees with B3. Third, we have modified our infrastructure and included fixed income models to our risk management systems in the CCV, the central clearing counterparty. Our goal is to offer clearing services for M bonds, Mexican sovereign bonds. During the second semester of 2020, we are currently working in the approval process with the financial authorities. Fourth, we are actively evaluating potential Mexican targets to join BMV Group in the analytics and back office space. I would like to reiterate that BMV will continue investing for growth by expanding its portfolio of products and services and by focusing on top-line expansion while maintaining its cost control culture. Lastly, we are in the final process of hiring a chief technology officer who will be responsible of BMV's technological transformation. In the next conference call, we will elaborate more on this initiative. Regarding the protection of BMV's legacy businesses, during the second semester of 2019, we released two features in BMV's trading engines. First, we increased the functionality to our member brokers and their clients to trade baskets and replicate simultaneously indices and global portfolio optimized strategies. BMV's clients can execute multiple trades in microseconds, minimizing manual entries and price difference in order to deliver the same performance as the global portfolio strategy. Additionally, we released self-trade prevention features to avoid two orders from the same organization or member firm from executing against each other. Furthermore, in listing and maintenance, we released an app to provide issuers with an additional communication channel to consult deadlines, regulations, delivery of information, among other functionalities. BMV is focused on constantly improving its customer experience through a customer-centric organizational culture. As for getting closer with buy-side clients and regulators, BMV continues working together with the authorities and financial regulators to develop a more liquid, transparent, and efficient capital market, as well as a Mexican derivatives market. We expect to list the overnight futures in the first half of 2020 and the electricity futures in the second part of the year. Over the years, BMV has contributed significantly to the financial development of Mexico, and a strong corporate responsibility has been part of our culture from our foundation. We are aware of the importance that we have as a stock exchange to generate positive changes in the environment, social, and corporate governance issues. Therefore, we have created a corporate responsibility and ESG department in order to create a medium-term strategy and address our stakeholders' material issues following the best practices. In the meantime, I'm glad to share with you that in 2019, BMV strengthened the stock market and financial awareness in Mexico through BMV's school offering over 150 courses and 30 events for 28,000 people. MUVO, our interactive museum, has received over 100,000 attendees, and numerous experts in their fields have talked every other week at BMV's auditorium. Moreover, BMV is part of the Sustainable Stock Exchanges Initiative and has an active role in environmental projects to promote green finance. Mexico CO2, BMV's carbon exchange, provides an electronic forum for certificate conferring the right to emit 1 ton of carbon dioxide, thereby attaching a cost to pollution. The sustainability index with 30 constituents was developed since 2011, and BMV is currently part of this index. Finally, we expect 2020 to continue being a challenging year for our traded-related businesses, as well as for listing and maintenance. But BMV's three-pillar strategy, we are ready to face the risk and create opportunities in order to achieve our 2020 guidance and EBITDA margin of 58% to 61% and a net income of 1.4 to 1.6 billion pesos. With that, I thank you for your time, and together with my colleagues, we will gladly answer any questions you might have. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Jose Oriol, and good morning to all your team. Thanks for the opportunity to make questions. I remember that in the past conference call, you mentioned that business confidence was more important than lower interest rates to start seeing more debt issuances or equity listings. Well, I think you were right. I think low business confidence has limited the operating and post-trading revenues. On top of that, the discount plan and competition have limited the revenues. However, on the other hand, we saw a fantastic job from you and your management team in maintaining expenses under control, declining for a second year in a row. So how should we think about the operating income in 2020? Do you agree that the top down of the country should continue to limit Bolsa's revenues in the short term? And how should we think on expenses? Do you think there's still room to reduce them? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ernesto, for your question and for having following us. And first, I think that it is important to mention that 2019 was a pretty difficult year, that, as you mentioned, we had no IPOs, no new IPOs on the equity side, and this was the second year in a row. 2017, we still had four new companies listed in the exchange, Cuervo, Bajío, Tracción, and Grupo México Transportes was the last one in November 2017, and since then we had no IPO. We had new listed companies in other products, not in equity, so in all the products that that you know, Secade, Serpis, Fibras, etc. But the number in 2017 was in new companies, was including four in equity, was 38 companies. In 2018, the number with no companies on the equity side, the total number was 40. In 2018, we had more therapies, around 10 therapies, and then we also had Secades, Fibras, Fibras C. So it was still a very active. And in 2019, we only had seven new companies. So seven compared to 40 companies in 2018 and 38 in 2017. So it was an atypical year. In addition to that, the issued amount was lower in all products, mainly in private debt. In certificados bursátil, the number by the end of the year was around 20% lower in long-term debt. However, I would mention that the trend was not too bad. We started the first quarter with a number that was like 70% lower compared to the first quarter of 2018. And then by the end of the second quarter, we were around 50. By the end of the third quarter, I think that the number was around 35%, and by the end of the year was 20%. So the number was not very good, but the trend, I think, was improving. In addition, we lowered fees on the cash equity market. We also lowered fees in listing and maintenance. The traded volume, as already mentioned, in government bonds was lower in Mexico, mainly in M bonos, as well as in derivatives, because in dollar future contracts and in most of the main contracts, the volatility last year was lower than 2018, and therefore we had lower activity. We also, in 2019, was the first year that we had a new exchange, first full year. As you know, the new exchange started operations in mid-2018, and as it was expected, they did not bring new companies or new clients, and the strategy is focused in taking companies and clients from the bolsa, so we lost some market share. So this was the story of 2019. I think that it is important to mention that despite all that, we had a year that was similar to the revenues that we had in 2018. So we had to focus on markets that have been successful and that we did believe that had a good potential, as it is the case of the global market that continues to be very successful. We are also working in market data that we continue to believe that we still have potential to grow. We will continue to work on the derivatives market, and we will continue being efficient in cost control. And as previously mentioned, we are now going, and we already started to work on the new strategy on the technology side. It's something that we are going to work with the new CIO of technology. And so I think that we are going to be planning a new technological transformation after a long time, that, as you know, in the Bolsa, we have had our own technology, and today is there are some things that we can change and we can improve. So with having said that, I think that the next year, 2020, should be a better year. Interest rates that you mentioned, they started last year in at 8.25%, ended the year 100 basis points lower. And we have had, for the past 5 years, in 2015, we had interest rates in Mexico growing from 3% to 8.25%. And now we are seeing, we started to see last year a change in interest rates. The economic growth, I think that we'll believe that there is a very high correlation in the performance of the equity market and the growth of the economy and the number of IPOs. So hopefully this year, we do not have, you know, an economic analyst area here at the Bolsa, but we hope that the economic growth for this year is going to be higher, whatever that means, than the previous year. So I think that there are a couple of things that that should be better, and the trend that that I did mention, that some companies at the end of last year started to put some money to work and were requiring financing through certificados bursátiles to start to invest in new projects and to take advantage of new opportunities. So we'll see, and hopefully we'll have a better year and achieve our guidances.
Very helpful. Thank you very much. And then my second question is related to your strategy of reducing your exposure to market revenues. Do you have a target of how much non-market related revenues should represent of your total revenues this year? And what are you evaluating to achieve this target?
Ernesto, we have not set ourselves a target as to how we would want to balance the revenues between non-market and market-related. I think that's the short answer to the question.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Kyle Prado from UBS.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity for asking questions. So I have two questions here. So the first is related to trading volumes. So if you guys could share with us the first impact from the new trading tariffs that are in place since November, and if you could see any positive impact come from that, and what are the expectations for the total volumes in 2020? And the second one is related to Valmer, about the revenue arising from financial information services. We saw a sharp increase this year, and you mentioned that new clients and commercialization of new products developed in 2018 had a positive impact during the year. So for 2020, what should be the drivers for those revenues, and if we should see should expect similar growth? Thank you.
Yes, hello. This is Alfredo Guillén, the CEO of the cash market equity trading. I can tell you that we did reduce our tariffs, our tariff trading, and we expect that these tariffs will boost somewhat our trading revenues for this year. We don't expect to change in the very short term any of our price strategy. Nevertheless, we believe that this year has started to see a potential increase in trading volumes since January. So we are confident that our pricing strategy has started to give some insight of what we will be expecting for the rest of the year. So we basically are expecting that our trading features will start to also give us an advantage and give our clients the opportunity to trade more, basically in the institutional side. Now, we believe that since year 2006, we have been launching every year new trading features to comply with international standards. That has been our main goal, to keep us competitive and have the same trading features than in other parts of the world. We're extremely confident that this is the case. It is interesting to see how our trading functionality has complied with that market, the markets around the world. So there is, we're confident that, as Oriol said, once we review new technologies and new ways to deliver lower latencies and faster trading activities, we can comply with the rest of the world. So we are very confident. We believe that the last year's trading volumes were partially the result of what you already know in terms of the economic arena. So we will like to see better volumes starting probably half of this year. No?
Okay, thank you. And what about the information services? So if you should see similar growth in 2020?
Yeah, so in Valmer we had a one-off. We had a sale of Open Finance, which is a portfolio management system. This represented 16 million pesos in revenues, but it also had a consulting fees expenses, and we're not expecting to repeat this for 2020, so you will see a decrease in both the top line and also in the expense.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Mohammed Ahmed from Poiston.
Hi, just a quick thank you very much, by the way, for the opportunity to ask a question. A quick question or clarification. You said 15 or 50 million from that portfolio management software sale in 2019?
Neither. 1-6. 16.
1-6. Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Just in wait of that same thought, could you give us any overall number for revenue impact in 2020 from one-off impacts in 2019 just from a basing impact. So clearly that $16 million won't be repeated. You had the price cut impact come through in 2019. Is it any additional number that is expected to flow into 2020? And also on the data audit side, the number I have is about $10 million. So if you could give us some color on revenue with regards to what was one-off revenue in 2019 that we should take out from the base for 2020, and then what could be potentially incremental in 2020 from your new initiatives?
Okay, so the one-offs were in information services. We had a $20 million in market data related to auditing of how our clients are consuming our data. And the other one is the $16 million that we had in Valmer related to the open finance platform. That would be on the income side. And on the expenses, it was $14 million in personnel, which we had the reversal on the on a provision, as well as $6 million in sub-custody because we had discounts for better commercial terms, but those discounts were only for 2019. So they will not be repeating in 2020.
Sorry, and 14 is 1-4, correct?
Yes, 1-4. Yeah, 1-4, and then $6 million on sub-custody.
Okay, so that was a $14 million headwind going into next year.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah, that's
you.
Personal, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in queue now. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez-Lopez from Bolsa.
Hi, good morning. Carlos Gomez from HSBC. Thank you for the call. I want to ask about your long-term goals. I mean, you are increasing your payout to 80%. You are projecting an EBITDA of 58%. Where do you see the company in the next 3 to 5 years? And I understand it depends on the economy. Is this payout sustainable, and can the EBITDA margin be raised even further? Thank you.
Okay, I think that now that our margin is at 59%, we think that we are close to similar exchanges, to the margin of similar exchanges. However, we continue and will continue to look to increase the margin that we have had. We still think that we have room to improve on both sides, on the revenue side as well as on the expense side. So we are going to continue to look for new opportunities on the organic and inorganic side. We will be taking advantage of opportunities that we are already in, and we believe that we have some potential. On the expense side, think that an opportunity that we could have for the next year is the transformation on the technology that we have, that I already mentioned that, and it's not the first time that we talked about that. But as you know, in the main technology, talking about the trading engine, the technology for our CSD, is a technology that was developed in-house a couple of years ago, but in technology a couple of years ago looks like a long time. When the decision was taken at the Bolsa, I think that was the best alternative that we had. But today is different. We are working and we already start to work and will continue to work with the new CIO and the different business areas is to analyze what we have available today in the market, in the world, and to take the best decision. So I think that on this side we'll continue to improve in the next 3 years, and I'm expecting a significant change in the period of time that you mentioned.
Thank you.
And we have our next question from Mohamed Ahmad from Poisten.
Hi, thank you very much once again. That was a quick turnaround. just on your new projects you've been talking about for the last little while, some of the incremental projects you're working on, whether it's with the regulator for some of the new clearing initiatives, whether it's the LATAM exchange, whether it's some of the custodian services, post-trade services. Can we get any color on addressable revenue pool that you're targeting so we have sort of a sense of scale of these opportunities? I realize that you can't guide as to when those revenues will be hit or what percentage of that revenue pool you'll be able to address, but just so that we can get a sense of what is the size and scale of revenue opportunities that you are pursuing.
Mohammed, no, we can't give you those numbers right now. I would point to the fact that in our guidance, where we have all our expectations mixed in, our goal is to come close to what we have this year in terms of net income and EBITDA margin. So while we are expecting some headwinds and a difficult year ahead, we are expecting them to offset with new projects and opportunities we see this year. But we don't, we're not ready to give the breakdown yet.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Just one on the new CTO hire. Should we be then expecting at some point a significant reinvestment, maybe not this year, but into next year?
Yes, one of his new priorities, or I'd say his main priority, will be, as Oriol said, to redefine our strategy going forward and to rethink our whole technological platform. And at some point, that will require an investment.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one, on your touch-tone phone. We have no further questions. I'll turn the call back to the host for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to updating you in a couple of months for our Q1 results. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.